Up next, Clayton Morgridge offers his thoughts on epidemics of despair and what we can do to respond to them.
There is an epidemic of despair in the United States. The visible part is the increase in what have been called deaths of despair, deaths by drugs, alcohol, and suicide. Among people who have not gone to college and for whom a traditional middle-class life is more and more out of reach, such deaths are rising steadily. The increases are connected to a measurable deterioration in economic and social well-being. In a West Virginia town where textile plants and woolen mills that once provided good jobs now stand empty, a journalist who used to live there was asked why so many people there are struggling with opioids, including heroin. He responded, "In my opinion, the desperation in this area and places like it is a social vacancy," he said. "People don't feel they have a purpose. Many drug addicts trying to escape the reality that this place doesn't give them anything. That's really hard to live with when you look around and see that 7 out of 10 of your friends from high school are still here and nobody makes more than $36,000 a year and everybody's just bitching about bills and watching these crazy shows on reality TV and not doing anything," unquote. A professor at West Virginia University who studies drug addictions described opioids as the ultimate escape drugs. She said, "Boredom and a sense of uselessness and inadequacy, these are human failings that lead you to just want to withdraw. On heroin, you curl up in a corner and blank out the world. It's an extremely seductive drug for dead-end towns because it makes the world's problems go away." End of quote. "Feeling hopeless about climate change? Well," said someone recently on Facebook, "there's an app for that, oxycodone." When economic opportunity becomes a desert and people's desires are thwarted at every turn, they lose hope. No sense of purpose, no reason to get out of bed in the morning. That's the state of despair. I want to be something, to do something, but I don't know what. I want to matter in the world, but I have no idea how. I'm full of desire, full of the vitality of a living being, but my desire is a curse because I don't know where to go with it, what to aim it at. Opioids solve that problem. I no longer despair at having nothing to do because I simply don't care. It no longer matters that I have nothing to do with my desire, because my desire, my vitality, is asphyxiated to where I hardly notice it, except for the one clear desire for the next pill, fix, or drink. Crushing one's desire moves one close to death, and many people fall off the edge, a risk they are willing to take because nothing, including life itself, matters anymore. But sometimes despair seeks other avenues of relief. Instead of smothering the desire for a life that means something, a person may force his life to mean something by an act of violence that takes revenge on the world that has given him no place to exist. This is one way of understanding those lonely men and boys who open fire on crowds and then turn their guns on themselves or allow the police to kill them. These are deaths of despair that cause yet more death. At a buried emotional level, such killers are taking revenge on a world that refused to recognize them. So we have an epidemic of despair leading to self-annihilation by opioids and to the enraged killer who takes his resentment out on others. Despair in a world with no place for hope, for a meaningful life. But what is it about our world that leaves so many people without hope? Well, what is required of a society if it is to be a medium in which human desire and achievement can flourish? It is not enough that people be fed and sheltered. There must be places in society in which people can feel that they matter, in which their existence and their activity are recognized. And the basic institutions of the society need to provide pathways to those positions, not obstacles. The deaths of despair we talked about stem from lack of ways to matter and to join with others in common projects. Capitalism is a form of society that at the best of times provides for some people some of these conditions for a good life. When it is expanding, there are jobs and entrepreneurial opportunities. However, even then, there are many losers, the unemployed, the homeless, and the indebted. And capitalist society is unstable. The regular occurrence of crises, depressions, and recessions is built into the system. Moreover, capital always goes where opportunities for profitable investment are greatest, which means it is always moving from one place or one form of activity to another, leaving behind communities and workers who are now of no use to capital, as happened in the Rust Belt in the 60s and 70s. And finally, even when capitalism is flourishing, it tends to reduce human desire to the desire for money and turn all value, including the value of our lives, into market value. Artistic activity, land and water, forests, and even our own labor become nothing more than raw material for capitalist exploitation. Now that's capitalism at the best of times. However, these are not the best of times. Capital is increasingly invested in complicated financial schemes that produce nothing besides inflated profits for wealthy investors and very few working-class jobs. Computerized production and distribution systems have de-skilled or eliminated many jobs. The result is too many people for whom capital has no use, leaving them with nothing much to do and too much time to do it in. The capitalist state steps in to control these extra people by mass entertainment, mass distribution of debilitating pharmaceuticals, and mass incarceration. So in a world where our lives depend on how and whether capital can be profitably invested, the best case scenario is one in which a good and meaningful life is shaped around the pursuit of money and what money can buy. In the worst-case scenarios, like the one we are living now, life loses meaning and despair sets in, despair that is either medicated into numbness and often death, or is transformed into rage that produces not only the spectacular sprees of violence that appear in the news, but innumerable acts of emotional and physical brutality behind closed doors. There is an alternative to living a life whose meaning is determined entirely by the stormy tides of capital, and that is to work in cooperation with others for a world order that honors and works to fulfill the full range of human need and desire. I'm Clayton Morgridge for the Old Mole Variety Hour.